Hey, it's Friday again. Time for another movie retrospective. Today, we're doing one that I've been wanting to do since we started thinking about doing this movie retrospective shit in the first place. Because this is one of my very, very favorite movies of the 1970s. This is Don't Look Now from 1973. Kind of an, I don't know if I'd call it underrated because it's pretty critically loved and it usually turns up like on a lot of best horror movies of the 70s lists. But it feels like one that maybe a lot of younger horror fans haven't seen.
Yeah, I'd never seen it. Jenny showed it to me for the first time, and it was a good movie. But I don't really know it as well as she does, so we're just going to let her roll with this. It was a pretty good movie, though.
Yeah, this was actually based on a story by Daphne du Maurier, who very famously wrote a couple... she's probably most famous for doing stuff that Alfred Hitchcock did. She wrote The Birds and Rebecca, which Alfred Hitchcock obviously, you know, made into movies later on. So this is based on a story of hers. It's fairly, you know, it's fairly kind of like the source material, but not exactly. It's basically Donald Sutherland is in it, and Julie Christie plays his wife. And it's kind of like, it was directed by Nicholas Roeg, however you pronounce that, who also did Performance, Man Who Fell to Earth, you know, movies like that. So he's kind of a very, I don't want to call him like an idiosyncratic filmmaker, but he definitely has a distinctive visual style and distinctive like way of doing things, particularly way of editing and stuff. And he uses like a lot of, it's not so much straightforward plot, but he likes to use like a lot of thematic elements that kind of repeat and stuff like that. So
the movie was shot beautifully. I mean, that's one of the things I can say about it. Looking at the, it's a pretty movie.
It really is. Yeah. And it's kind of like, it's a symbolic film in the sense that it's about grief over the death of a child, but then there's like kind of all this other stuff going on too. Like I said, Donald Sutherland is in it and Julie Christie. They play like a husband and wife, the Baxters, and their daughter Christine drowns accidentally in, you know, a pond on their property. And then some sort of undetermined amount of time later, you see that they've gone to Venice, presumably to get over their grief about it. Donald Sutherland's character plays, he's like an art restorer. So he's overseeing the restoration of this, you know, cathedral in Venice. So that's why they've gone there. He accepted this job kind of to get away from the home so they could forget about it. Now, the interesting thing about Donald Sutherland's character is that we see from the very beginning when the daughter Christine drowns, he has a premonition. I mean, him and his wife are inside the house. They're talking about something else. And, you know, Christine is outside playing and she falls in and drowns. And he immediately knows that something is wrong and he runs outside. But it's too late to save her. She's already drowned. So we're establishing at the beginning that Donald Sutherland has psychic powers. However, he's like in denial about them.
Yeah. He could have premonitions and visions and shit.
Right. So he's almost like, it's almost like he's been gifted this, I guess. But he's like denying the gift.
Which I actually thought.
Like he doesn't want to know.
I actually thought that was kind of a realistic portrayal of psychic abilities. Which really kind of, you know, that's very 70s. Very 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
That's usually how it was portrayed in like paranormal literature.
Yeah.
About, you know, in parapsychological literature. So in that way, you know, kind of give a star for credibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, you buy it also because he's such a skeptic. He comes across as very dismissive of anything having to do with psychic powers, anything having to do with religion, anything like that. Whereas his wife seems a little more open-minded. Now, after they...
look at this. Got a cat jumping in.
She's what like...
The, we can't take the... Come on.
She's complaining. She makes like a little whir sound. That burr, burr.
Yeah.
She always makes noises like that. She doesn't meow that much. She just makes that noise.
She feels that she's being ignored.
Yeah, she's like, you guys, what are you doing? Why are you not petting me right now?
Okay, we gotta
So when they first go to Venice, like, I don't know how long they've been there. I'm assuming it hasn't been long. They're in a restaurant. And the wife, Julie Christie, she notices that, like, these two women are, like, looking at her, and it's kind of freaking her out a little bit. And then they have some kind of thing where they have to go in the bathroom, and it looks like one of them is kind of, like, you know, handicapped or something. So she goes in there to help them. Now, one of the women is blind, and kind of freaky looking, it must be said. Now, she says to Julie Christie's character that, oh, I see your daughter. She's sitting in between you. And she describes the red raincoat that Christine was wearing when she drowned. So at this point, it's funny because Julie Christie totally buys into it. She's like, oh my God, like pretty much that's all the information she has to go on. Oh, she's wearing a red raincoat. She's laughing. You know, she's happy now. I could see her in between you two. Everything's okay. And so Julie Christie's like, oh, and she almost has like, it makes her, she like accepts the death more because she's like, oh, well, she's still here and she's still around and she still loves us and everything's awesome. Which in some ways, like Donald Sutherland's character is kind of conflicted about this because, you know, yes, he's glad to have his wife back. Like there's a very extended, very famous, rather graphic for the time sex scene, which is kind of establishing because you're meant to imply that they haven't had sex in a long time since their daughter died and they, you know, she has had a hard time getting over it. So there's this kind of like reconnection between them. And so he's happy about that. But then on the other hand, she sort of gets obsessed with this idea that these two women or this blind woman who is, says she's a psychic can see her daughter. And so Donald Sutherland is kind of like, well, I feel like she's getting, you know, sucked into this with these two women. And it's, you know, maybe it's not healthy for her because he doesn't believe it, obviously, even though he has psychic powers himself. Like I said, he's in denial about it. Now, while this shit is all going on, too, there is also the small matter of a serial killer running around Venice. Now, this is actually interesting because it's almost like it's, I feel like a lot of movies would have this be the main thrust of the story, but this is not the main thrust of the story. Pretty much their you know, relationship, their, you know, her relationship with the two psychic women, that's kind of like the main meat of the movie. But then, like, on the outside, you have the serial killer, and every now and then, like, they'll be going down a canal, like, in a boat, and they'll see, like, there's crime scene tape, or they're pulling a body out of the canal, or something like that. And there's kind of shit about, you know, the serial killer running around. So then, like, all this, the thing about this movie, too, is that this is definitely not, like I said, a straightforward type of film. It's kind of a lot of atmosphere. And the way Nicholas Roeg does his movies is that he likes to play with timelines. And especially this one, because it's about psychic abilities, about precognition, you know, and also the past coming back to haunt you and stuff like that. So he doesn't make a distinction between the past, the present, and the future. So sometimes when you see something, like very famously, there's a very famous scene where Donald Sutherland is on a boat and he thinks that his wife has gone back to England, you know, to care for their son who is, you know, was hurt in a fall, like back at his boarding school. And then later that day, after she supposedly left on a plane, he sees her, but like on a funeral boat, and she has like all the grieving clothes and she's like on the boat with the two women and he's like flipping out about it. Now, the interesting thing about this is that the way the whole thing goes, and I don't want to like spoil it too much because I know probably a lot of people, I mean, probably people my age, you know, horror fans have seen it, but I feel like maybe a lot of younger people haven't. It has to do with self-fulfilling prophecy because he has a vision that he doesn't realize is a vision. And the fact that he has that vision makes the bad shit in the vision come true. You know what I mean? So it's like a self-fulfilled, so it's like an endless loop, like a Mobius strip. So I think that's kind of cool the way they did that with the movie. And I have to say that, like I said, there's a lot of kind of repeated aspects of this, like the color red. They wanted to wash everything out and make everything like kind of like brown or beige in the movie. Like I said, it's Venice, so, you know, everything's like stone. So then when you see flashbacks with Christine's red raincoat, you see the serial killer, who also has a red coat, which at first you kind of think it's a ghost like of Christine, but it's like a different coat, but it's red. You know, Julie Christie has like these bright red boots or like a bright red purse. So there's red. There's like a lot of water references, like anytime something bad's going to happen, glass breaks. There's a lot of references to like falling or getting hurt in a fall. There's like a lot of that kind of stuff going on too. So as I said, it's not so much like a straightforward narrative as it is kind of like I don't know, like a symbolic, you know, sort of thing about, like I said, about grief, about the, you know, the psychic thing, like being a loop and like coming around and making things happen that maybe wouldn't have happened.
As a person that's really only seen it once and recently, you know, this is the first time I've ever seen it. How long ago was it that we watched
it? It was probably like a week ago. About a week ago.
The movie was a slow burner.
I like those.
Along the lines of maybe like The Changeling.
Yeah.
Kinda. If you guys have ever seen the movie The Changeling.
But and we did a review on that.
But it had a very Italian look and feel to it, but high quality, not so much giallo. It didn't feel like a giallo movie.
No.
It felt like a higher version, like a very expensive Italian movie. It had a European flavor and look to it, to me, the way the style was. It wasn't an action movie.
It's an art flick for sure.
It's more like an art flick. I don't want to say that this is a chick flick, because it's not. But I could really see how this movie would have a lot of appeal to women, because it is for people that are really paying attention to other people. It's not an action movie.
Yeah.
This is not a bro movie.
No.
Okay.
Not by any stretch of the imagination.
Not at all. You know, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm a little bit of like of a caveman. I like, you know, but I still appreciated the movie for what it was. It's not necessarily my kind of movie, but I'm going to go ahead and give it my approval.
Yeah.
Okay. It is a very high quality movie.
I wouldn't call, like I said, like you said, and it usually gets lumped in with The Changeling, with movies like that.
Yes, yeah, movie like that.
We should say Shudder, the reason I'm doing this now, finally, because I don't have it on DVD, sadly, is because Shudder just added this and they added The Changeling, like just a couple of weeks ago.
Now that you mentioned Shudder, we don't sponsor, Shudder isn't sponsoring us. We're not plugging for Shudder.
No, we just like it.
But I'll tell you one, we should plug
Shudder.
Hey, if
anybody from Shudder is
watching
this, we're
going to call Shudder, all right? We're going to call Shudder and say, we mentioned you so much, you're going to have to break us off, Shudder.
Yeah.
No, I'm just
kidding.
Well,
no, that's the thing. It's like they add good shit all the time. And I was so excited when I saw they added that.
If Shudder ever becomes our sponsor, all right, if we're going to say that, all right. We want our longtime listeners to know that even before they were our sponsor, we liked Shudder.
Dude, it's $5 a month.
$5 a month.
It's like
a lot of badass
movies. It's
what,
like a quarter the cost of Netflix. I mean, yeah. I like Netflix too, for like for more general movies, and they have some decent horror movies too. Yeah. But if you're into horror and sci-fi and thrillers and shit like that, I mean, $5 a month, you can't.
Actually prefer Shudder over Netflix.
I watch more stuff on it.
There are a couple things on Netflix that I like, but like, you know, I like the Punisher series, the MST series.
Yeah, the new
good.
MST. That's kind of why we kept it more for
the
TV
Black Mirror series.
Yeah,
Black
like for
that.
More TV series.
Lost in Space has got my good friend Parker Posey on it. We came up together. She's
yeah,
on it.
There.
So, but the rest of the stuff, like the movies on Netflix, they don't have very many of the old classics.
They don't have, yeah, they have a lot of good new ones.
Yeah, but nothing old.
But not a lot of classics.
You're right.
I noticed the other day, speaking of Netflix, that they had added some from the 90s. Like they added, like, yeah. I Know What You Did Last Summer, Eight-Legged Freaks.
Right.
A couple of those type of movies, which that's good. So they might be feeling the heat from Shudder. And it's like, well, we need to add some older shit.
On Shudder, you can go back and watch all of the old Halloweens. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
No, it's one. It has one, four, and five.
Okay.
1, 4, and 5.
I think they had some old Friday the 13th, didn't they?
I don't know about Friday the 13th. They have a bunch of,
but there's just a lot of old ones.
They had a bunch
came
of the
with.
Phantasms.
Yeah,
they Phantasms. Had 3, 4, 5. They had some of the Hellraisers.
Yeah.
They had shit. What was the thing? That
oh,
I was
you
can
see
of?
Like what Wolf Cop? What was that one?
Yeah.
You know, just like
they have old, a lot of giallo movies.
Yeah.
They have a lot of Dario Argento.
Old 70s and 80s classics.
They have
90s
Lucio,
classics.
A lot of Lucio Fulci. They have The Beyond, right. House by the Cemetery, right. City of the Living Dead. They just added the other day.
Mandy's on it.
Yeah, so it's, and I think Beyond the Black Rainbow is on there too, or that might be Netflix, I don't really jump. But I was, like I said, the reason that I wanted to do Don't Look Now was because this was one of the first movies that I wrote down when we first started making a list for our movie retrospective, and I was like, okay, but I don't have it, so I haven't done it yet. And so the other day, I think, didn't I actually, when I opened up Shudder, and they had just added it that day, I think I might have screamed.
Yeah.
But so they added that, and they
it's
added The
service.
Changeling. So I was like, well, we already did one on The Changeling, but I have to do Don't Look Now because Like I said, this is one of my, the '70s, everybody knows if you, you know, follow the show at all, or if you read any of my YouTube comments, the '70s is my very favorite, era for horror movies.
Dead and Buried.
Yeah. Yeah. We did one on that too.
Yeah.
Like I said, what's it? And we saw that, and, Deathline too, or right. Raw Meat, which was the same right. director. We did that as a double
Chud.
Feature. Yeah. They got Chud, the Stuff.
Q.
Q, the Winged Serpent.
Yeah.
They just added that.
Good ones and bad ones. Q sucked, but it was,
I liked that movie.
Just fun to watch.
I like Larry Cohen. They have God Told Me To on
for
there,
For five
too.
Bucks a month, Shudder's offering good shit, so.
Yeah, they have, like I said, it's curated very well. They have, like, a good combo of, like, old stuff.
There was a free one we were watching, and we threw that one down because we couldn't get a reliable stream on it, and the selection wasn't that good. What was that free one that we were watching?
Oh, Tubi. I watch that sometimes.
Yeah.
So, I can watch it on my laptop. It's much easier.
For $5 a month, you get something that just fucking totally downs Tubi.
I finally, on Tubi, you guys, I finally watched The Cabin in the Woods. Isn't it bad that I haven't seen it? I hadn't seen it until now. It's like I felt like such a bad horror nerd because that's like one of the big movies of the 2000s. And I'm like, oh my God, I really have to get around to watching Cabin in the Woods. And it was amazing. And I was like, and I can't believe I didn't see it, but I saw that on Tubi. But yeah, so if you have a Shudder, Don't Look Now is on there. You should really check it out. Like I said, the 70s, my favorite era for horror. It's a very slow burn. It's very arty. It's not, don't go into it expecting like a traditional, like, three-part story, like arc, you know, like a normal kind of story arc. Not an action movie. It's kind of more, you really, really have to pay attention to everyone's conversations. You have to pay attention to where you are in the timeline, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because like I said, he kind of plays with it a little bit. You don't really know if what you're seeing happened already or hasn't happened already. So there's kind of that whole thing. And honestly, the last scene of this, the final scene where, I'm not going to spoil it, but where Donald Sutherland like meets the hooded figure, that's a pretty awesome, creepy scene because when that person like turns around. The first time I saw that I was like it's like really, really creepy. And I think that actually ended up on Bravo's like top 100 like scariest movie moments or something like that.
But mentioning Shudder, you know what else is cool about Shudder?
What?
John Carpenter did the theme to Shudder.
He did, yeah.
The theme song to The Service is
a John Carpenter.
And you're like,
song.
Oh, that's fucking awesome, John.
See, that's how cool
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
And like I said, but they don't sponsor us. We just like it.
Yeah.
And
they're going to sponsor us. You owe me some money, too. I just want a shirt.
He just wants a shirt. He has simple taste. But yeah, so if you haven't seen Don't Look Now, and maybe I know a lot of younger people haven't, go check it out, especially if you like, you know, art house flicks or like, you know, creepy 70s movies, because I really, really like this one a lot. And I feel like it doesn't get a lot of love from the younger horror community. So go check it out. And that will do it for our latest movie retrospective. Remember, if you like the show, to like, share, subscribe on all your social media. If you'd like to financially support the show, you can go to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/13oclockpodcast, or you can go to our blog, which is 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com. And there's a link in the sidebar to a PayPal account. Remember, our movie retrospectives, just like this one right here, come out every Friday. We also have 13 o'clock matinee, which is three new movies in the theater, and that comes out every Sunday. And our regular episodes come out every Tuesday, so check them all out. We will see you next time. Bye.